Welcome to Edgemont Bible Church in Fairview Heights, Illinois, where our mission is to glorify God by guiding people into a discipleship relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's listen in to today's message by our pastor, Douglas A. White.
Good morning, and welcome to the Edgemont Bible Church. We're glad that you are joining us by Facebook, by whatever video you're using. Listen as we read this word. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless his name. Proclaim the good news of his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations, his wonders among all peoples. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He's to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the peoples are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Give to the Lord, O families of the peoples. Give to the Lord glory and strength. Give to the Lord the glory due to his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. The world also is firmly established. It shall not be moved. He shall judge the peoples righteously. Let the heavens rejoice, let the earth be glad. Let the sea roar in all its fullness. Let the field be joyful and all that is in it. Then all the trees of the woods will rejoice before the Lord. He is coming, for he is coming to judge the earth. He shall judge the earth with righteousness and the peoples with his truth. I'd like to ask you to join me, please, in a word of prayer, and let's just praise our God together. Father, thank you so much that you are the awesome God that you are. Thank you for the multiple gifts you have given us all this week, the provision you've made for us. Thank you for the kindness that you've shown to us in healing. Thank you for the kindness you've shown in provision of just our food, our sustenance, the things that we live in. Thank you, Father, for the kindness you've shown to us. We come before you with joy this morning. We come before you with solemnity this morning. We come before you confessing our sins. We recognize that we are a people who have been trapped in unbelief. And through our unbelief, that's led us to many sinful actions. We confess, Father, that we have been killing our own offspring. We ask in the name of Jesus Christ that you would rid us of this. Forgive us and have mercy on us for doing such a horrible thing to your own image. We confess, Father, that we have not been faithful to you, that we have not trusted you. We have trusted many other things, even our own self-sufficiency. We have envied, we have desired, we have coveted. Father, we ask in the name of Jesus that you will restore our hearts to the position we're supposed to be in before you all the time. We confess that your goodness is present with us. We confess that you're the one who has shown us any healing at all, and that all healing lies in you. We need you desperately, Lord. We ask for deliverance from this virus. We ask for the deliverance from the fear that is produced by it also. We ask, Father, that you would give to our nurses, the doctors, the health caregivers, much safety, much health and peace and grace as they go through this. We ask for the suppliers, that, Father, you'll make enough supplies that people who are being treated can have the supplies adequate for them to be treated. We ask for a cure. And while we're asking all those things, Father, we praise you because we know you're capable of that. We pray for the truckers and all the people who will be bringing those supplies to people. We pray for our authorities, asking that you would give them great wisdom as they try to figure out a plan to bring this to a close. We ask that all people, Father, will begin to do that which you've called us to do, love our neighbor as ourselves. And we ask for new devices, new ways for us to work out loving our brothers and sisters. We're going to thank you for that, Father. Now we ask in Jesus' name you'll bring healing to our brothers and sisters who are unable to join us this morning because they are sick. We ask in the name of Jesus that you'll minister great strength to all of us, the families who are gathered together, Father. Cause them to just be joined together greatly. And we're going to give you praise for that today. Let them enjoy each other. In Christ's name and for his sake, amen. Well, God bless you today. These are peculiar times, are they not? But even with these peculiar times, God has provided for us a way. We're not a people who are ignorant. We know what he has in plan. We know that the day is going to come when he's going to bring the Lord Jesus Christ back here again. And we know that he had already told us in advance that things just like this were going to take place. So we're not surprised by them. We're not supposed to act surprised by them. We're not supposed to be a fearful people, but a faithful people. Our God didn't call us to fear. He didn't give us a spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind. That's what we need to maintain in these great times. And I know that you will. I know that you are a people of prayer. I know that you're a people of faith. And God will see us through this. We will get through this one day. And when we do, we want to have been drawn closer to him all the time and be a stronger family because of it. Well, today we're going to talk about saving our children. We're going to talk about how the scriptures teach us that we're to have spirit-filled children just as much as we're to have spirit-filled adults. So today I want to talk to you about spirit-filled children. Our reading today, if you'd like to turn there, is going to be found in Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, and only three verses. So if you would like to listen to those verses I read, or if you'd like to read along with me and even say them out loud where you are, it's a good thing to hear the Word of God said out loud. If you want to do, you can also stand as you read it, or stand as you hear it read, just out of respect for it. The Word of God says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you, and you may live long on the earth." That's the verses, just those three. God bless you. Now let's look into this passage somewhat. Let's kind of back up a little bit. Go to Ephesians 5:18, if you would. 5:18. It said, "And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting one to another in the fear of God." This verse teaches us about the very shared life of the believer. The believer in Christ is sharing a life with Christ. If we don't get that, we're going to miss it all. Our faith is not about a religion of do's and don'ts. Our faith is about a relationship of sharing the life of Jesus Christ with yourself. And as you're sharing that life, you're sharing that life with everyone else as well. This shared life comes by the Spirit of God, the Spirit of God who lives in us. Now listen, when you trusted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, a great act took place. Well, I should say, so many wonderful actions took place. Number one, when you trusted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, the Spirit created in you a new man. Now, he couldn't do that until he crucified the old man. So I point back to the cross for that. I just want to remind you that the old man that you were born with has been crucified in Christ Jesus. And that by the Spirit of God, you have been born again with a new man living in you. A new man that's resided by the Spirit of Christ. That's what's in you right now. And we're to be controlled by that new man. Now, we're still loaded up with habits from the old guy. We didn't need anybody to teach us how to lie. We learned that. That was coming inside of us, as Jesus put it, "For out of the heart are the issues of life." That's where we learn to sin from. So I want to make sure we're getting this whole point that it's a shared life. When we were born again, the old man in us was crucified, a new man was born, and all these habits of the old man are now under, if I can say it this way, the Spirit's work to move them out of your life. It isn't just to reform you, it's to transform you. He's not just looking for you to turn over a new leaf and do something different. No, he's got a new man inside you. He's transformed you. And he said that that Spirit has three evidences in you, that when you're under the control of the Spirit, which is what 5:18 told us to do, there are three things that you'll find. That Spirit-filled humility produces three different things in us. Number one, it produces praise instead of suspicion or self-promotion. Instead of you now trying to give your own praise for who you are, which is a gift of the old man, if I can say it that way, instead of that, you are now learning how to praise God. You're now beginning to see that your life is under the control of a great, wonderful, beautiful, sovereign God. And He in His goodness is teaching you how to express that goodness. He in His love is teaching you how to express that love. It's praise of Him because of who He is. And that's what's found in verse 19. In verse 20, it teaches us that it's thanksgiving instead of complaint or anger. It is easy enough today, you know, if you can go to some of the lines and you see that you can't find the thing you're looking for, it's easy enough to complain because I couldn't find it. It's easy enough to be angry because somebody else got it before I did. That's easy. That's the old guy. That's the habits that we're trying to get out of our life by replacing them with thanksgiving. The best way for you to replace the complaint and the anger that comes up is to stop, take a good deep breath and say, "Thank you, Lord. I don't know all the things that you're accomplishing, but you've already undertaken to take me under your wing and you will provide everything I need. I'm grateful for what you've done." So that's the second thing it is. The third thing he puts to us in verse 21 is submitting to one another in the fear of God. Submitting to one another in the fear of God. Now that's difficult because submitting is not what we want to be. We want to learn to be assertive. That's some of the old guy stuff coming out in us. It is learning to be submitted to one another. Now, apparently, Paul thought this was such an important concept, understanding this submitting to one another in the fear of God, that the whole next section, all the way down through portions of chapter 6, it's all about how it would look if we submitted one to another. And he went to the core issue on the thing. He went to the family. Now, I want to get in across our minds here. Submission to each other is to be in the fear of the Lord. Why? Because the church is not the one that set up submission. The culture is not the one that set up submission. That was set up by the living God in the beginning. That's how He made everything to work. Submission is not being stepped on. Submission is giving in to what is necessary to keep all the processes running the way they're supposed to. So he tried to tell the wives in verse 22, "Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands." That was their submission. To the husbands in verse 25, he said, "Husbands, love Christ, love the church." That's the husband's submission to the wife. That's right. The husband is to be submitted to the wife. And he does it by loving her and serving her and meeting the needs that she has to make a home. He submits to her so that she can get the home that she wants to make from that. She's submitted now to the Lord Jesus Christ. She's seeking to build a home. She's submitting to your leadership, husband, so that you'll make good decisions, because the idea is a teamwork that's going on. You guys are to work together, and that's going to require some leadership and some submission, leadership and submission back and forth. So he described it that way. He told us how wives be submitted. He told us how husbands be submitted. And in this section that we're going to look at today, he's telling us about children in their submission. Let me just cover this first. Such submission is the evidence of humility to the Lord Jesus Christ in our lives. Jesus Christ was submitted to the Father and even submitted to the disciples. Here's the Son of God submitting himself, washing disciples' feet. Here is the Son of God taking care of people. Here's He's doing some healing. Yes, that leadership that He did was servant leadership. So as He's come as the Son of God on the earth, the Christ, He is serving people. That's His submission to them. He was serving them. And as we submit, we are showing our service to the living Christ, the living Son of God. It is, as we're to do, I'm to consider that the Lord is the one who established all things. Not me, not the culture, not the government. The Lord is the one who established all that. And I'm to consider that whoever established that order, the Lord, and established my part in it, and establishing my part in it, I got to know that I'm accountable to God for who I am and what I do with it. So the answer is not whether I submitted to you so that you can hold me accountable. The answer is I submitted to you because I am accountable to God. So I'm looking to God for whether I'm doing the right thing or not. That's why you do it in the fear of the Lord. You're not trying to do that in the fear of one another. Didn't call on us to be submitted that way. Now let's take a look just for a moment at what it means for children to be Spirit-filled. Spirit-filled children obey and honor their parents. In this verse, children refers to either gender and specifies no age. Matter of fact, the Greek word used here is a neuter noun. That means it didn't mean boy or girl. It meant boy and girl. So it meant the two of them together. So it doesn't matter what your gender is, and it doesn't matter what your age is. Let's just make a statement that if you're still in the home, you're a child. You're to be in that home. If you've already gone out of the home, you've already got your own family established, you still are listening to your parents. As a matter of fact, the word obey right here, as a present tense, it means to keep on obeying or obeying constantly. But the word for obey is made up of two words, hupo, under, and the word for hearing. So you're to be under the hearing of your parents. That means it's not just about rules. It means to listen what they're teaching and act on it. So kids, if you're gathered around listening to this today, let me speak specifically to you. Your parents have things that God has told them to teach. Those things He's told them to teach are to keep order in the world. We don't want to be living in confusion. We want to be living in order. Where there's order, there's not confusion. Where there's confusion, it does not come from the Lord. We don't want to be living in a confused thing. There are a lot of confusing things happening right now. But we can bring order out of even those confusing things. Children, obey your parents. Stay under the hearing. Listen to what they have to say. Listen to the things that are going to create good order for us to live in. Listen to the things that are going to help you understand who God is and what He's about. So stay under your parents' teaching. It's not simply about rules. This isn't just simply about rules to follow. It's about what are people like? What does God say? What is Jesus like? What is God like? What is the world like? What's the purpose of all things? Who's the ultimate authority? What's the Bible about? What's in the Bible? How can I understand the Bible? All of those things are a part of staying under the hearing of your parents. That's what it means. And if you're going to obey those things, that means you're going to keep the things that your parents have been giving to you and put them in your heart. Don't just listen and just turn them back out as soon as you walk away. Keep those things in your heart because they are teaching you about order. They are teaching you about what God wanted. They are teaching you about how to maintain love. They're teaching you about how to build your own family. Don't just listen to what they are saying. Watch what they do. Now, parents, if you didn't just figure out that that puts a whole big load on you, that means you're going to have to watch what you're doing, that what you're doing looks like the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not just the words that come from you that sound like the Lord Jesus Christ. It's what you're doing as well. Kids, know this. You're going to go through at least three stages in your life. When you first came into this world, you came in as a dependent. And as a dependent, you counted on mom and dad for everything. You couldn't change your own clothes. You couldn't eat your own food. You couldn't find your own food. There wasn't anything you could do. You were fully dependent on what mom and dad said. You're fully dependent on what mom and dad could provide for you. But as you got a little bit older, you realized you can go to the cabinet and find a piece of bread. You can go to the cabinet or the refrigerator, open the refrigerator, and you can find snacks in there. You learned that you could feed yourself. And you had learned, because your parents were gracious to you, how to change your own clothes. You had learned a lot of things in those dependent years. And in those dependent years, as you were being taught and learned to do those things, you soon learned that you could do some of those things by yourself. Now you're going to go through a stage of independence. You're going to figure out how you can do them without mom and dad looking, without mom and dad telling you what to do. Be careful in that stage, because it's in the stage of independence that you start believing you're your own boss. You will never be your own boss. You may think that you're in complete control of everything, but you won't be. there's still many things that are around you that you're going to be dependent upon. But in that dependence, make sure you're staying under the hearing of mom and dad. Let me just stop right here and tell you this. Children, as you're listening to me just now, to be filled with the Spirit means that you just take a faith-filled step of obedience and do what God said was right. Do a faith-filled step of obedience. That is, I am doing this because God said to do it. God told me to obey my parents, and I'm going to obey my parents because that's what it is. I hope that you'll learn to obey your parents simply because you love them. But I'm recognizing there are some times that our love is kind of up and downy. And sometimes parents ask us to do something that we don't want to do. Change your wanter. Take a faith-filled step of obedience and say, even though this is not something I want to do, God told me to do this, and I promise you God's Spirit will fill you to help you accomplish that task. And it'll give you three things: praise, thanksgiving, and submission. All right? We go on further. It goes beyond simply following the rules. It's to hear the teaching of our faith, and it becomes a part of you. Let it do that. Let it become a part of who you are. Look, this whole series is about leadership and saving a generation. It's about leadership and saving our children. You are important, kids. We are counting on you. We know that you're the next step. You're the most important thing that's going happening right now that's going to save the generation. It's going to take care of things. We need you. But we need you to be Spirit-filled children who know how to take care of our faith, who know how to keep things like thanksgiving going. You know how to keep things like love going. You know how to keep things like service going. Your leadership is going to be needed. You right now, kids, are in a leadership school. God is teaching you. God is directing you, teaching you how to be a leader. Don't rebel against it. Recognize the changes that are taking place in you, but do them by the Spirit. It goes on constantly. That's the whole point of this one. It says, keep on obeying. Keep on doing it. You've been doing it. Don't stop doing it. And as you get older, don't stop doing it. As you get to that place where you're now, you're feeling full independence that you don't need mom and dad telling you what to do. You can argue about it or fight about it or put up a resistance to it. May I suggest, take a Spirit-filled step of obedience. Rather than argue with them, make an appeal. Make an appeal. Say to them, mom and dad, right now, I have been working on this project I've got to get done. I would be glad to take the trash out as soon as I get this project done. Can I appeal to you to let me get this project done first? Let them have a talk with the Lord themselves to figure out what's the best thing they can do right there. It may be an emergency the trash needs to be taken out right now. That it may be running over. And maybe it's a good idea that you look at it and say, you know, I am going to change this right now and get the trash taken out. I'm just saying simply this. Keep on obeying. Stay under the hearing. Stay under the guidance. Keep the order of your family going. It's more than simply compliance. Now, here's what I mean by that. You could comply, but in your heart be upset. Be mad because you're having to do it. I'll go ahead and do this, but I don't want to do it. Don't let your heart do that. Once you see that coming up, recognize that as the old man. The old man's habits are there again. Recognize that. Put on Christ Jesus and say, I'm sorry, Lord. I recognize I should not have said that. Please forgive me for what I just said there. I should not have that attitude. Give me a good attitude as I do this. All right. Let me go to the next page there. Notice what it says here. Children, obey. And then it says, your parents in the Lord. Your parents in the Lord. Now, I was a youth pastor at one point, and I remember one of our young people coming up to me and saying, hey, pastor, I just found out I don't have to obey my parents. I said, yeah, I don't. As in the Bible, your parents in the Lord. Wait a minute. That's not an excuse for disobeying unbelieving parents. That's not an excuse for that. This, I'll share with you in a minute what it actually means. Listen, if God has given you parents, whether you're in a foster family or you're adopted or you're part of the natural family, or that doesn't matter. God has given you parents. And that's what it means by parents in the Lord. They are the parents that God wanted you to have. They're the parents that God has given you right now. show you the humility of the Lord Jesus Christ, who suffered under people who didn't believe him. He was still compliant, or I should say submitted, to serving God. He served them because he was serving God. Okay, so that's not an excuse. So don't use the Lord as an excuse for not doing. Notice this. It's in the Lord you are to obey your parents. That is because of your relationship to your Creator, who in his creating ordained the order that would make it righteous and fully functioning. That is the cause of your obedience. Now, what did I mean by that? Let's break it down. It is the Lord that knits each child in the womb of the mother. He is giving you to the parents that he wanted. He is giving you the time that you're going to be born. He is giving the skills that you're going to be developing. He is giving you the mind you're going to have. He is giving you the circumstances in which you're going to be born. He is giving you the time in which you're being born. Our God was the one that was behind all of that, bringing you in. Now, some of you may be in a situation you're saying, then I blame God for this. No, he knew what he was doing. And he's giving you the equipment that you need to deal with it. It is God that you have a relationship with, and because you have a relationship with him, that's why you obey your parents in the Lord. That's the way he intended for there to be a righteous fulfillment. When he created this earth, he created it for it to be filled with people. But those people couldn't all be little rebels, or you wouldn't have the glory of the Lord. You wouldn't have the way of the Lord being revealed. They have to be submitted people, spirit-filled people, if you would. And that spirit-filled order that would come for that would make a righteous world. That would be filling the earth with his glory. So if you would, be obeying your parents in the Lord. Let the Lord be the reason that you're obeying your parents. Know that you have a reward coming from the Lord because you have been obedient to your parents. Keep looking for the good things that God has for you. Notice he says, be obedient, and for this is right. As he says, this is right. It's this spirit-filled, submitted obedience to the Lord that puts things back in their right order. Now look, right now, you're getting an opportunity, if I can use that term that way, to be at home. Your schools are closed, kids. That's creating a new burden for your parents. That was not something they had been counting on. They had schedules all set up. They had routines all set up. Some of your parents, both of them working. This is going to be a difficult time. Don't make it worse for them by not being a spirit-filled child. If you go into rebellion saying, this is boring. I want to be with my friends. I want to be outside. I want to do all this. I don't want to do this schoolwork. I don't want these classes or things. Stop. Things. Because I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, because I am in the Lord myself, I'm going to do this just as Jesus Christ told me to do. Just as Jesus Christ did, so am I going to do. Follow a routine. Get the order down. Learn to help mom and dad out rather than create a problem for them. That's what puts the right order back in your home again. That's critical. We need that right order. We don't need more confusion to the time we have right now. It is difficult for your parents. It's difficult for you. It's difficult for your teachers. It's difficult for the whole of society. It's difficult for health caregivers. It's difficult for a whole lot of people. Let's not make it worse by having a rebellion show up among us. Learn to do new things, things you had not done before. Obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. This is the thing that puts it back in its right place. You see, God's in the business of restoring all of this. He's wanted to restore completely the world that we're living in. He's going to restore it to the way in which he created it. And he's doing it through spirit-filled husbands, wives, and children. We have more to talk about parents next week, but for now, let's just get that understanding down in us. Notice the next thing he says in verse 2, honor your parents, your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. So let's get this one down. Honor your father and your mother. Show them the respect God has given them as those responsible for you. This, too, is the order of how the earth was to be replenished. Look, they have a responsibility to teach you and bring you up. You have a responsibility to be obedient to them and honor them. They're in uncharted waters themselves. Listen, I can tell you most of the time when young people get God can know what I'm talking about. We always have counseling sessions before we have the wedding. And we give things to work out and things to work on. Most of the couples I come across believe they already know how it's done. And I thank God for the families that they come from. Perhaps they do know how it's supposed to be done. Perhaps they do already understand what a marriage is all about. Perhaps they do understand what a family is all about. But I can know enough to know that as they go through that, as they learn how to be a husband or learn how to be a wife, they're going to run across some challenges. There are going to be obstacles in it that they were not prepared for. Now, what God is doing in your family is giving you opportunity to learn how to take obstacles on and use them, get past them. God's giving you the gift of the Spirit to teach you ways to be leaders when you leave that family. And ultimately, you're going to leave that family. You see, when you come to that third stage, which is called interdependence, you're going to learn that you not only are independent and you can do things yourself, but you actually do need others. So you're going to have to learn how to depend on others while being independent. We call that interdependent. All right. So you're going to come to that one as well. Honor your mother and father while you're going through those stages. Your mom and dad are not dummies. They've been through a lot of experiences themselves. And as they've gone through those experiences, they have learned some ways to handle those experiences. Learn from them, because you are going to go through experiences too that you're not going to enjoy, that you're going to say, this is difficult, this is hard. And if they were good parents, and I know most of them are, they have taught you how to handle obstacles, how to handle those experiences, and you've learned how to do something from them. Let me show you something else. This one comes with a bonus. Listen to what he says. This is the first commandment with promise. So here's the deal. God's calling on you, young men and women, to be obedient to your parents, take that faith-filled step of obedience to God, and He'll fill you with His Spirit. And as your Spirit-filled children obeying your parents and honoring your mom and dad, He says there's a promise that comes with it. He promised that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. Let's talk about that. How you treat your parents is how you'll treat other adults in your life. If you treat your parents with disrespect, you're going to treat other adults with disrespect. May I share with you, other adults may not have the patience your mom and dad did. You may find yourself in some serious conflicts, and you're going to reap your response. So that's the next bonus that you have there. You're going to reap your response. It's a promise. And if I can say, how you treat your parents is how you'll treat adults, you'll reap the response. So if you act like you're cocky and you don't need your mom and dad, I promise you'll run across some people who are not like your mom and dad, and you'll find some difficulties coming in. Some conflicts are headed for you. Conflicts will lead you into all kinds of internal struggles, and I will tell you those internal struggles will keep on reducing your lifestyle. Keep on reducing the years of your life. Let me go on further with you. How you treat your parents is how you'll treat your spouse and children. You learn about love from them. You learn your parenting from them. You reap the response. If you treat your parents with disrespect and you disobey them, may I share with you, you'll run across people who will probably disrespect you and dishonor you. These responses that you're going to get from people that you think that you can just treat them any old way you want, you may find yourself quite lonely sometime. You may find yourself without friends, because how you treat your parents is how you're going to treat not only your spouse and your children, but the other people who are around you. If you didn't love your mom the way you needed love, I'm going to tell you, you're not going to love your wife the way you need. If you didn't love your dad the way you needed to, you're not going to love your husband. If you treated your own father with disrespect, you'll be treated with disrespect. It comes back that way. That is simply reaping the seeds that you've sown. Your emotions will factor into your health and well-being. Anger, resentment, and pride all have a high price tag. It's already known that when people are angry and they stay angry, the hormones that are released to cause that anger create great damage in the rest of the body system. You see, you're supposed to have some hormone that fills you up so that you can act when you need to act. But then it's supposed to subside after you settle down from the action you needed to take. But if you live in a world that just keeps giving those hormones all the time opportunity to make you angry and stay angry, you are reducing your own health. It's already known that that continuous state of anger or resentment or pride reduces your immune system. May I say, today you really need your immune system. We can see right now that the virus and the way this thing is operating, you're going to need every part of your immune system you can. Get rid of anger. If you've been treated unjustly, you think so, then turn that over to the Lord and let the Lord Jesus Christ, who died on the cross, die for that anger. But don't keep it yourself. Get rid of that. That's a way to lose aspects of your life. If you live in bitterness all the time, bitter with your mom and dad, and you don't learn to forgive them or to find out why they did what they did, if you live in that bitterness, I know you'll reduce your life. You'll cut the years down for the same reason. You have hormones that act in the world of bitterness. You have a mindset that works in the world of bitterness that will not permit you to think good thoughts. It will not permit you to keep on having good ways of doing things. You cut down your life. So he was saying this, I know you, I don't know your body, I know everything about you, I know this, children, obey your parents, that's healthy. Children, honor your parents, that's healthy. It's not only putting in good order to this world, but it's putting in good health into this world. We need healthy leaders who know how to respond to things in some other way besides anger, resentment, and pride. We need good leaders. I trust that you'll be one of those good leaders. But you are in the school right now of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is teaching you right now what you need to know about living, about getting along with other people, about good health. You're learning. I don't doubt that God has given us this opportunity where we're having to spend a little more time at home. We're not able to get some of the things that we normally get. It's an opportunity for us to learn some wonderful new things. It's an opportunity for us to learn, how did people get along when we didn't have all these comforts? How did people get along when not all these things were there? Kids, it's a wonderful time for you to obey your parents, listen to your parents, stay under the hearing of your parents, honor your parents, and then to look for ways that you can be creative in your own home and helpful in your own home. He said that if you obey your parents, that it'll be well with you. In other words, you will be well. You're putting aside all the things that will make you sick, the anger, the resentment, the pride, the pursuit of just having your own things, the coveting and desiring, the things that go like that. Those are all unhealthy. And he said, if you practice these things, it may be well with you. And then he said this, that you may live long on the earth. You will cut your life short through dishonor. That's what the Lord is teaching us. You're going to cut your life short through dishonor. He wanted to give you a long, prosperous, healthy life. He wanted to give you a life that would be contributing to the well-being of the church, of your community. It would be an order that's brought back to it that is righteous, that is peaceful. Now, all of those things we've been saying, because I want you to understand something. You see the shirt I'm wearing today. Well, this shirt is my Awana shirt. And I wanted to speak to you about Awana just for a few minutes. And that's why we talked about children. Awana is one of our children's ministry. We have four pillars that we use for our children. We have the pillar that meets on Sunday morning. That's our children's church and Sunday school. We have a pillar that deals with outdoor leadership. That's Trail Life and American Heritage Girls. And we have Awana that teaches kids the Word of God, how to memorize it, how to put it to use, because Awana is about reaching boys and girls for Christ and training them to serve Him. So it's about our service ministry. It's a training in service. It's a training in learning the Word of God. I know, kids, that if you'll put the Word of God in your heart, if you'll memorize that Word of God, if you'll meditate on that Word of God and act on it, I know that you're going to add years to your life. I know that your parents are going to be blessed by it. And not only your parents going to be blessed by it, but the community you live around is going to be blessed by it. We need that Word of God. We need it just as Joshua was told that he was to be not be afraid, but to be very courageous. And he was to be courageous by listening to the Word of God, by reading the Word of God, by meditating in the Word of God every day. He would learn good, healthy leadership plans. He would become a great leader for the Jewish people. That's what God's wanting with us. So we have this Awana that is for boys and girls. It meets on Wednesday nights when we get to meet. When that'll be again, I don't know. But I know that you who have Awana, who are already attending Awana, you have your Awana books at home. Now is a great opportunity for you. Memorize more of the Word of God. Spend the time with Mom and Dad going back and forth about that Word of God. A great opportunity. Our fourth pillar is Berean Christian School. And we'll talk to you more about Berean Christian School next week. But for right now, let me just encourage this. Kids, if you just gather around and listen to what we're saying just for a few moments. God loves you. And God's plan for you was that you would be a Spirit-filled leader. You have multiple gifts. You have a big world before you. You have many things you could do. But in order for you to be a Spirit-filled leader that is blessed by God, you need to be one who knows how to obey your parents. That's part of your training. That's part of the school that you're in. That's part of the way that God is shaping you into the leader you're going to be as an adult. Don't give up. Stay under that hearing. Let it be a daily process to you. Don't let resentment get you. Don't let anger get you. Don't let pride get you. As soon as you see it coming up, confess it. Give it over to the Lord Jesus Christ. Let the cross of Jesus Christ take care of it. And then, kids, I'm going to encourage you, as you get involved in school, learn the Word of God as long. Make sure the Word of God is just as important a part to you as math and social studies, English, science, whatever other subjects you're studying. Make sure you spend enough time in the Word of God that you're learning it well. You've got a great time right now. You kind of got your own schedule set up, however your home is setting that schedule up. You've got a great time to learn to be a Spirit-filled, obedient child. God bless you. I just want to encourage you, you can be a part of Trail Life, learn some outdoor skills. You can be a part of just good learning. God wants you to be strong, and we're trying to help you be strong in that. So kids, trust the Lord Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior. If you have not yet, let me just say this. Jesus Christ came. He is the Son of God, and He gave Himself for you. He paid for your sins. All those things when you didn't obey Mom and Dad, He paid for those sins with His own life. The wages of those sins should have been death. And yes, it can be said you should have died. But you did not, because the Lord Jesus Christ died in your place, was raised again the third day to give you brand new life. Today, trust the Lord Jesus Christ. And then those of you who trusted Jesus Christ, take that Spirit-filled step of obedience, that faith-filled step of obedience where you're trusting God and you're saying, because you've said this, Lord, and because I love you, I'm taking this step. And you'll bless your parents by doing so. You'll bless your own life by doing so. It will be well with you and you'll live long on the earth. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you and praise you. You are such a wonderful, awesome God. Thank you for the gift of children, how precious they are, Father. We love the children you give. We love the laughter we get from them. We love to see them learn new things. We learn to hear them speak. We love to just to hear them do the things or say the things they do and do the things they do. We love them, Father. I know, Father, I got to spend time with grandchildren. I get to spend time with kids here at school. I got to spend time this last week, and I appreciate so much getting to spend time with the grandkids. Thanking you for what you're doing in their lives as well, and the things they're learning. And I pray that you'll bless them, that you'll bless all our grandchildren, that you'll bless each of the families who are listening in here today, that you'll bless them and encourage them
to trust Jesus Christ and to live Spirit-filled lives together. Husbands, submit yourselves to your wives. Submit yourself to your own husbands. Husbands, love your wives and submit yourself to her in serving her fully and completely. Children, submit yourselves to your parents and follow the Lord and what He's doing there. Be a Spirit-filled child, obeying the parents and honor parents. Thank you, Father, for what you're going to do in us just now. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope God has encouraged you with today's message by Pastor White. Thank you for joining us at the Edgemont Bible Church. We'd love to have you visit us if you're ever in the area. For directions, more information, or to support the ministry of Edgemont Bible Church, please go to our website at edgemontbiblechurch.org. That's Edgemont Bible Church, all one word, .org. You can also follow us on Facebook at Edgemont Bible Church, where the Sunday morning message is broadcast live.